Intervju Radija Študent.
Ja, drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, pozdravljeni v terminu Ereš intervjuja, kjer danes gostimo avstralsko zasedbo Sleep Makes Waves, ki danes večer igra v klubu Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Poleg Sleep Makes Waves bosta nastopila še dva češka benda, in sicer Esa Slesa, gre za Screamo post-rock band, in Smashed Faced, ki igrajo deathcore. Zdaj pa za uvod poslušamo tale komad, ki je že v podlagi, torej Sleep Makes Waves, The Obstacle is the Path. Torej, z mano sta v studiju dva člana skupine Sleep Makes Waves, zdaj pa prestavimo na angleški jezik, torej, hello Otto and hello Alex.
Hey, Oresh, how's it going?
Nice to have you here in studio.
Thanks, nice to be here.
Yeah, it's fantastic to be in your city.
Okay, first question, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, yeah, this is your first European tour ever.
That's right, yeah, this is our first time as a band in Europe. We arrived about the 7th of April for a festival in Belgium called Dunk Festival. We played with some cool other instrumental bands there, like 65 Days of Static and Pelican and This Will Destroy You. And we've been traveling around in no particular order, mm-hmm. all around the continent ever since. And we've driven something like, I guess, about 9,000 kilometers at this point, which is pretty crazy, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So how many dates you have on this tour? Altogether,
I think it ends up being 14. So I think, including the show tonight, we have two more dates.
Okay, and how's the tour so far?
It's been really, really surreal for us in Australia. People, promoters, and venues do not take as good a care of bands mm-hmm. as you guys do here in Europe. Here, you've really made us feel at home. With the amazing food and the hospitality, and the crowds have been really cool as well.
So we've been really humbled and really grateful for the reception that we've got here. We had no idea what we were really getting ourselves into. We knew it would be a lot of fun, but we didn't expect to encounter the kind of passion and generosity that we've basically experienced on every date this tour.
I got off stage in Poland in a city called Łódź, and these four people ran up to me and like practically passed out over how much they loved my shoes. And that was like really new. So that was pretty cool.
So yeah, I didn't know, you know, usually American bands gave me a same answer as you do. Like they don't have such hospitality at home. So they're like, you know, every time they look forward to European shows.
Yeah, yeah. I can
because
imagine
of that. Yeah,
we're gonna find it hard going back to Australia and being treated how we get treated in Australia after being here.
Oh yeah, I guess you guys can have a couple of drinks tickets and sort yourselves out for accommodation.
So, what about the feedback from European concert goers? Does it differ from the ones back home?
I think it does. I think it depends on where you are in Europe. I think in Western Europe it reminds me a bit of back home. People are a bit calmer and maybe a little more reserved when they're watching you. Having come out to Eastern Europe now, the passion from the fans has been really something that we're not used to, and it's really astounding and gratifying to us how positively and passionately people have reacted to our music out here. So hopefully we get some more of that in Ljubljana tonight, so that'll be great.
What about you also had a first US tour this year. You also played in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest.
That's
yeah, okay.
Right, yes.
And how are the American tours compared to Australian?
Well, the American tour we found a lot more similar to the Australian tour in the sense that people there are very used to having bands coming over and drifting in and out of their cities, and they're probably a little bit more, habituated, a little bit more used to that whole process. And so we had a really great time in America, and it's a fascinating country. But in a lot of ways, it was very similar to Australia.
Okay.
So the real difference has been coming here to Europe, and as Alex mentioned, especially Eastern Europe, which has been the real sort of energy and passionate center of the tour so far.
Yeah. See, Otto, you're wearing a Bandcamp t-shirt.
That's right, yes.
So, yeah. I mean, your first album, And So We Destroyed Everything, was a top seller on the Bandcamp website for a long amount of time.
Yeah, with how it went.
So, what's the background of this amazing fact in your biography? I mean, it couldn't just come out of nowhere. So, what was the foundation of this
I think
success?
We had released released an EP and a demo for free on the internet beforehand, and that got us a lot of fans around the world because they were able to get our music for free and they liked what they heard. So I think when we came to release our first album, we actually sold it. We already had a lot of people that were passionate about our music, and I think they felt loyal enough to what we did that they were willing to spend the money on supporting us. And so there's that. We already had a fan base, and I think we were just lucky at the time to benefit from some good reviews, some good promotion. Our label back in Australia, Birds Road Records, worked really hard in order to promote the record as much as they could. And so I think all of those things coming together and just a little bit of luck meant that we wound up on the top of the charts, which we absolutely didn't expect would happen.
Back to Australia. How's the, let's call it, alternative or underground or independent music scene back there?
In Australia, it's definitely not as energetic and passionate as it is here in Eastern Europe. It's there, but it's a lot less vocal. It's a lot less noisy.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Eastern Europe, it seems like there's a big push for people in this alternative scene to be heard and to be on the street and to be and lots of bands are coming to play shows because they know that they'll be well received. In Australia, where we come from, in Sydney, it's a lovely city, but most of the music scene is either club music or indie pop.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small but dedicated and loyal community around our kind of music, which is great, but it definitely feels like it's a much more expansive and bigger part of culture here, especially youth culture.
Coming to play in Europe, we actually feel a bit like we're part of the world, as opposed to just being stuck on this kind of odd little continent down in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So we have a lot of friends, and Australia has been very good to us, but it is a very different place to being here in Europe.
Okay, about the writing process. Is the writing process in your band a collective thing, or is that you have a person in a band who will do the final decision, or who will propose like an idea? I mean, come out with an idea, and you know, then you're gonna make a song, or is it like a, you know, as I said, collective thing?
It's about half and half. I'm a bit of a control freak, so if I get my hands on an idea, I'll want to take it the whole way and finish it by myself. And I need to do that sometimes, and that can frustrate the other guys a little bit, but I think it works out. So
when the song comes out, we realize that like it was probably the right thing to do.
So probably between a third and half of the material is stuff that I've worked on largely alone, and then the other half is stuff that we've all worked on together, or the basis of it has come from the other guys. So we don't really have any one way we approach it. It comes down to what's best for the song. And
at any one time, we have several songs on the back burner, as we'd say, kicking around and waiting to be developed. And each of those songs will take their own path to be developed. Sometimes that path will cross collaboration. Sometimes it'll just stay one person doing it. It's a mixture of everything, really. Depends on the song.
What about recording in studio? Do you end up, you know, laying down tracks and cutting and pasting, or is it more like live interaction?
To be honest, like the last few records have been put together in a sort of very piecemeal way. We would overdub a lot of tracks and we would cut together a lot of different takes. But I think now that we've spent a lot of time on the road, by the end of this year, we would have done something like 76 shows, which is more than we've ever played before. We'll be a much better live band, and I think we want to go and challenge ourselves by doing the next studio record in a much more live fashion, maybe cutting it to analog tape and trying to work with whole takes of multiple band members much more than the sort of more orchestral approach we've previously used in a studio.
So do you have a plan to go to a special place to record an album, or, you know, some bands, you know, do that?
I think we're still working out some options for that. So there's a couple of people back in Australia that are interested, but we've got to write the music first as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got so much touring on this year that we're really keen to get back into some songwriting soon. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have one or two songs ready to be recorded and released. And then next year, we'll be looking at actually doing some more serious long-playing stuff, like an album or something like that.
What about the influences you get from other bands? I mean, one can find few more or less well-established post-rock bands names in your biography. I mean, I guess that's somehow obvious, but what about bands from other genres?
I think we're all avid music listeners. We love listening to different types of music and getting those influences into our writing, whether it's intentional or not. Personally, I'm listening to a lot of softer stuff lately, a lot of folk kind of stuff, like a band called Sun Kill Moon, and Jose Gonzalez and Bon Iver, that kind of stuff. I really like, and those subtle orchestrations and arrangements of music, and also a lot of mathy sort of stuff, which you know, like different time signatures and blending interesting and sort of disorienting music into the fold. And I think all of those influences come together in a sort of rolling, tumbling fashion as our tastes change and as different bands that we like pop up, and the music is sort of constantly being influenced and pulled in different directions by these different things that we listen to.
Yeah, I mean, like the folk stuff that Otto listens to, it might not come out obviously, but it's definitely there in the guitar playing that he does on an electric guitar, so it might not be obvious. I mean, one of the other big things that I think is an influence for us is punk rock music. I mean, my favorite band of all time probably is At The Drive-In, and other stuff like Fugazi and bands like that. And that doesn't necessarily come out on the records and the recordings, but if you see us live, I think it's that influence of just wanting to make a huge mess of the stage and really make the most powerful, fiery live show we can. That's a really big influence that's always there in the background. That's definitely different to what a lot of other post-rock bands do.
Yeah.
you're being categorized as a post-rock band. Would you add any other genres or subgenres to that classification?
As Alex mentioned, I think especially with the live show, I like to think of us as like an instrumental hardcore band. Like in terms of, I mean, the music that we make isn't along those lines in terms of that there's no like guy at the front screaming and the lyrics aren't about like, you know, death and politics and stuff, but the energy that we try to bring to the show, I find a lot of inspiration from the kinds of performances that bands like At the Drive-In and Dillinger Escape Plan and other really awesome live bands like that put into their shows every single night. That's what we try to do and try to bring. So I suppose in terms of the live show, I'd love to think of us as an instrumental sort of hardcore band, even if it's a little silly.
And I think that every band needs a genre because you need to be marketed, and post-rock works for us. But I think that all good bands that are around today, they're really blurring the lines between the genres. And it, you know, from in terms of having to sell your music, you can call it post-rock, but really bands are crossing over rock, electronica, progressive music,
like
pop music.
In Austin, we saw this awesome band called And So I Watch You From Afar. And people could call them post-rock, but really it's like instrumental punk music with this Celtic theme running through it, you know? That would do it more justice. But at the same time, people who like post-rock would probably like them. So it makes sense to market them as post-rock.
Yeah, so it's just a couple of words. I don't think we think about it too much.
Except to like laugh about it ironically and talk about things that are post, like sunsets and electric, and then those power generating windmills that you see a lot of in Europe. So post.
Okay, so Otto and Alex, thanks for this interview. Thanks for stopping by.
It's a pleasure.
No worries.
Any final words for our listeners?
Eastern Europe is the most amazing place that we've played music in ever. It's more punk than any place we've ever been to before.
Alex, buy them dinner first. Also, we're playing tonight at a place called Channel Zero in Ljubljana.
Yeah, Metelkova. Area is called Metelkova.
Cool. Yeah, so I'm not going to try and pronounce that. So please come and say hi, and we'd love to meet you if you're listening.
Okay, thanks. Ja, drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, to, kar ste ravno kar poslušali, je bil intervju za avstralsko zasedbo Sleep Makes Waves, ki danes večer nastopajo v klubu Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Poleg njih bosta nastopila še dva benda, in sicer Esa Zlesa in Smashed Face. Intervju sem pripravil Uroš Badovinac, za tehnično izvedbo je poskrbel Tehnik 359. Thank you.
Interview Radia Student.